that he just doesn't see.
There you go, Bob Dylan, Blowing in the Wind. One of the great anthems of the anti-war movement and people who believe in peace, and one of the champions of that cause is Ted Schmidt, and he's right here in the studio. How are you doing, Ted?
Good to be here, Phil.
Great to see you.
Thank you.
I should tell our listeners that Ted has a great history. He rode with the Berrigans.
Yeah.
One of the really prime movers of a moral cause, and whose names live on and their work lives on, and Ted is actually living embodiment. You are currently conducting a vigil. I think it's every Thursday. Am I right?
Yeah.
And it says Kingston Road and
Victoria Park. Yeah.
You were. I think you said you were outed by Charlie Angus.
Charlie has quite a following across the country, and suddenly, we began this about a year ago, Phil. I just couldn't take that we'd be beginning to normalize genocide, and so a few people I have coffee with in the East End, said, well, let's do something about it. We can't normalize it, and we got signs, and then Charlie discovered it. Now, I've known him since he's 15, and he wrote this incredible article about me, the Prophet of Scarborough, and people began sending it to me, and I said, well, I sent it back. I said, well, anybody who thinks he's a prophet, he's already lost the game.
Yeah.
I'm just a Catholic trying to be a Christian and do the right thing.
Yeah. Well, and there's something different about this moment. There are thousands of people.
Yeah.
Some of the demonstrations, I'm sure, I know I've been. You and I have been to many demonstrations in support of one aspect or another of the Palestinian cause.
Yeah.
And usually it is, not an army. But there have been some really large.
Yes.
And there's been a shift. You've been commenting on it. One of the names that was remarked on was Stephen Lewis. What did you make of that?
Yeah, that was kind of surprising to me. I was making supper at home, and the phone rang, and I heard this voice say, are you the guy that's having that vigil? And I said, yeah, we have a vigil. Anybody can come. Well, could I come? I said, well, sure. Do you have signs? Yeah, we got signs. And by the way, who am I speaking to? He said, Steve Lewis. But it was, we started to talk, and we had quite a warm, when I realized, he said, well, that's the area I used to represent in Parliament. And I said, yeah, I voted for you. We had a very warm conversation, and he kept going on, this is fantastic what you're doing. And I just said, well, not really. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. The problem is part of your DNA is your humility. But when people, you put the anchor down of a regular vigil reminding people that genocide is taking place.
Yes.
And it ought to be condemned, and the Canadian government should do something. And then a really well-known, highly respected,
yes,
retired political figure like Stephen Lewis comes. And by the way, he did it in the spirit in which you do things. He simply showed up. He didn't come to make a speech. He didn't.
No.
He simply wanted to put a marker. This is where I am.
I realized it was very profound for him. He had never spoken out on Palestine too much, and I understood why, because I'd been a victim of the Zionist thought police, how they come down hard on anybody that says that Palestinians are human beings. So when he showed up, he was very beautiful. He went up and down the line. He was in a walker, and he came with his wonderful daughter, Alana, and thanked everybody. And he was very moved by it all. And I was really touched by his witness. And then Alana took a picture, sent it to Avi Lewis, and then Avi Lewis exploded and wrote, this is very unique for my father to do this, but he cannot take the mass murder of children and women any longer. And I'm so proud that he's my father. Well,
wow.
You know, they're the royal family of Jews.
Yes.
In Canada, with David Lewis and Stephen and Avi and that wonderful wife of his. So things are changing. Blowing in the Wind is exactly right. There's been a massive change in thinking just 2 days ago, you saw 200,000 people at Glastonbury in England.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Waving Palestinians.
Brussels, all the other amazing size of these demonstrations.
Well, people can't hide it anymore.
But, you know, it's so simple. The politicians who are trying to control this thing want to make it divert attention from what it's actually about. People are repulsed at the slaughter of civilians.
Yes.
By people in airplanes and with tanks. And so it's simple. I mean, I even saw the woman from CNN the other night talking, being interviewed by Stephen Colbert. And she said, I get asked all the time, don't you see what this is? Can't you see it? I can see it.
Right.
And obviously Avi Lewis, have seen it and said they've seen it. And that's all it resonates with the population. Not with the leaders. We have leaders who are just cold-blooded. They go with the policy. They don't really care. It's going to be, we run that place, and you cannot say anything.
Well, you know, not only people can see it, but here you have a former Prime Minister of Israel, Olmert, saying that we're murdering civilians. I mean, this is the former Prime Minister of Israel.
Yes.
So there are voices in Israel.
He's a very thoughtful individual. I'm very impressed when I see him, Omer.
Yeah. So
former mayor also of Jerusalem.
Yeah. So people have it on their phones. The Jewish community have lost the next generation of young Jews, and they have it on their phones. They see it. And it's obvious to everybody with a conscience. And so one of the things that I do, I go around to the Christian churches in Scarborough and talk to the pastors. I've been to about five. Yeah. I call myself a roaming Catholic.
R-O-A-M-I-N apostrophe.
I go
I'm a Roman Catholic.
And I ask them, where is the church? Yeah. We're a non-denominational. We're just people of conscience who can't stomach genocide as a policy. This is the year 2025.
Well, by the way, I think you're doing exactly the right thing because, again, we have the phenomenon of the really ugly thing called Christian Zionism led by apocalyptic morons.
Yeah. Morons who know nothing about Scripture.
But they know how to manipulate it, which is one of, it's one of the oldest cons in the world.
Somebody
who knows a few lines of Scripture.
Exactly.
And by the way, knowing a few is the trick, because if you know a bunch, you're going to get in trouble. But if you only have two or three lines, then you've got a win streak going.
Yeah.
But what about that? I have to ask you, we have a new pope and you have the Catholic Church, and there have been many outstanding Catholic leaders who have spoken up on this issue. What is the trend?
Well, Pope Francis put a heavy trod on the church. He was so committed to the poor, the weak, the marginalized, that the church cannot go back from an imperial type of papacy. And so his successor, there's a lot of right-wing cardinals, of course, but they said, no, this guy was unbelievable. Daily, he was on the phone to Gaza, to the oldest Christian church from the 10th century. So he did amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, here in Toronto, we had 50,000 of the Jewish community walking on behalf of Israel. And I understand where they're coming from. That they have not understood that Judaism has been hijacked by Zionism. In the 42, as Hitler was on the march, there were a bunch of credible rabbis says, no, Judaism is not a nationalism. We don't need a state. We've lived 4,000 years without a state. And one of the great rabbis, Elmer Berger, said, Judaism is about justice, loving mercy and loving God. And the rest is simply commentary and of secondary importance.
And should be the foundation of Christianity as well.
Well, yes, because we come out of it. And I, in this new book that I've finished, Pell, I write that Judaism, to me, is the greatest gift that was given to humanity. The whole idea, and it's right in Genesis 1:27, that humans are made in the image of God. And it's in Hebrew that we are made B'Tselem Elohim, made in the image of God. And when after the 67 war, I can't tell you the number of Jewish rabbis and commentators that said, after that war, Judaism became Zionism. And that's what's happened. These are good people. I knew people who marched, but I would say, who wants to walk with a genocidal state today? Not young people. But it's Jews of another generation who hasn't understood.
Well, it's a political battle.
Yeah, it's a battle in the Jewish community, and I write about this in this new book. I mean, there's a civil war going on among the Jewish community.
Now, remind me, the title of the book is, where can people access this book?
Well, I have one in the library called I Was a Catholic Zionist, and I didn't know I'd write another one, but I saw such a profound change. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been at it a long time, saw no breakthrough. But it suddenly people began to understand that the Palestinians were the new Jews. And that was my own conversion as a guy who grew up in the Jewish community, that I made a mistake. I went to Palestine and I saw, to my horror, what had been happening.
Yeah, you've been there more than once.
Three times. So I saw it. And so my book's in the library. I Was a Catholic Zionist. And I have another one, and it's called 2014, The Year Zionism Died. Mm-hmm. And I'm finishing that, yeah.
By the way, Naomi Klein has also writing along these same lines.
She's incredible.
She's brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
She gave that speech, almost a year ago in New York, which was really a definitive, brilliant speech.
That's part of my book. I quote that speech perfectly. It could have been in a theological classroom. She understood that Zionism had hijacked the great values.
Well, she said, "We can be this is our time to be liberated from Zionism."
That's right.
Which is a very nice turn of phrase.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, let's talk about. Well, before we go further, I better ask. Now, how do they people? You don't mind if someone joins your vigil?
Oh no.
So where? How do they do that?
Well, they just show up.
Where they go on Thursday
mornings? We're at Kingston Road, just a little bit east of Victoria Park, and
easily found.
We had 40 people last time. We started with four.
There you go.
And wonderful people. I've got to meet a lot of them. And when Stephen Lewis came, that just blew everybody's mind.
Well,
Angus came.
And, did mine.
Yeah. Well, but the papers didn't write about this.
No, I'm very glad you say that. How about this? I think I'm up to things. I try to be.
Yes.
And I did not know there was a photograph. Because the media is not helping, are they?
Terrible.
Obviously, they know if they mention Stephen Lewis, if they show that photograph, there'll be another little seismic shift, a little movement of the plates. And so they're not going to do it.
No, it's journalism malpractice. We've written to them. Everything seems to have begun on October 7th.
I would ask them, what are you afraid of? What is it with you? Of course, it takes us back. It's always been true that he who pays the piper calls the tune. So whoever, with the most money in the media, they get what they want. And they can just put their thumb on something like it's a bug and it doesn't exist.
Well, they've controlled the U.S. Congress and the Senate. And there was a group of them, and Jews are writing about this. They're called Zionaires. They're very, very powerful. And they think somehow this is Jewish spirituality, that I'm supporting a genocidal state. That's not Judaism. They think that that's really being a Jew. No, Judaism is to love justice,
yes,
to love mercy, walk humbly with your God, and to have these values of anti-militarism.
Yes.
They're missing the point. Yes. This isn't Judaism. This is Zionism.
Well, by the way, that diving board leads us to the other one, Christianity. The Crusades.
Sure.
When the Crusaders arrived in Jerusalem, they killed the Muslims, they killed the Christians, and they killed the Jews. Why? Because they were all living together peacefully.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Now, and then, yeah. But I'll tell you something I wrote about recently. I was looking into, strangely enough, the first Christian Zionists who settled in the Ottoman territory, and they were the millenarians.
Right.
In 1854, they were there, and there was they wanted to bring Jews to join their Christian settlement to teach them to farm so that they could accelerate the return of Jesus. By the way, but that was that had gripped Christianity. They had actually convinced themselves that this became a laudatory thing. And they had an incident in 1854 where, of course, the Arab population objected to these settlements.
Right.
And there was trouble, predictably.
Right.
And a U.S. ship called the Levant sailed up to Jaffa and said, if you don't leave the Christian settlement there, of the millenarians, I have trouble saying it, we're going to flatten Jaffa.
Wow.
And so, and then the captain took it upon himself to provide weapons to that Christian settlement. One of the leaders of the Christian settlement was named Grosteinbeck. That's the grandfather of John Steinbeck.
Wow.
From Prussia.
Yeah.
And he was one of those. They used to call him the Seventh-day Baptist.
Wow.
And they had a religious vision. But that's not Christianity.
No, it's not Christianity.
But you see what I mean? We get into who's representing their faith.
Yeah.
And the Christians have been driven into a stupid corner by their leaders, Bill Clinton, Bush, these guys, who think it's a sacred cause.
Yeah.
And it has to do with the old crusade idea. It has to be our faith, and we have to be on top.
Yeah. Well, when the first Aliyah, which is Hebrew, and they came in 1914, the Ben Gurions, they were not Jews. They were Zionists. They had given up on Judaism, and those people, there was like 5% of Jews in 1900, and they didn't like these people because they weren't believers. And they were getting along quite nicely with the Christians and the Muslims. It was a Muslim country.
Yes.
It had been that way for 1,300 years.
Yes.
And so you have this movement coming in of people who had been given up on Judaism, and they were Jewish nationalists. That's basically what Zionism is, Jewish nationalism.
Yes.
And so Ben-Gurion, he even said to the greatest Jew, probably of the 20th century, Martin Buber, you're not even a Jew. Yeah. I mean, imagine that Ben-Gurion, a total atheist, saying to Martin Buber, because he said, no, we can come to this country, but we can't be sovereign here. This is a Muslim country.
And Albert Einstein said the same.
Well, there were many great Jews.
You remember Einstein had the perfect, any rational, he said, it's only if we live together as mutually respectful people in a democratic society. We're not...
No.
I don't want, he said, I don't want to be part of a society that dominates another people.
That's right. He was a great humanist.
You might call it ABC, very simple.
Yeah.
But there was some kind of a project going on there.
Well, yeah.
A long-term project.
Yeah.
I've been saying on the show that, the British and the French captured the Ottoman territory.
That's right.
And what is called the Levant.
Levant, yeah.
And they do not intend to give it up.
No.
Ever. Those two. Yeah. It's not just, the Zionists, yes, they're convenient people.
Yeah.
But the imperial power never intends to surrender that region because that's how you control things.
Yeah. It's a chess game.
Our illness is we want to be an empire.
Yeah.
Everybody, and even our nice people say, well, we need to go over there and help them out with their human rights. No, we do not.
No.
No, we need to learn to mind our own business.
That's right.
But to do that, we'd have to not be business people.
Yeah.
Because business people like to go and bother others.
So the Palestinians were devastated. They lost a country that had been Palestine for 4,000 years. And they were in the refugee camps. But then, yeah. You know, they're like the Jews. They highly educated, 97% of Gaza, well-educated people. And now they're everywhere, you know, and their voice, they have, as Edward Said said, the power to narrate. And people are listening to their narration. We were here.
Yes.
We were tossed out of our country, yeah. Et cetera. So.
But it's always, that name needs to be invoked a lot. People want to know how the situation, Edward Said,
yes.
It should be a ready reference.
His books are everywhere.
We're talking to Ted Schmidt, who has done something really, he's planted the flag, as it were, of justice on Kingston Road in
Victoria Park.
Victoria Park.
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
8 a.m.
And people are welcome.
Anybody's welcome. Some bring their own signs. We have our own signs. People give us money, and we basically say, don't accept genocide.
Maybe you should, you know, do what Moses' father-in-law told him to do. Every tent, once you get 10 guys, say, okay, you 10, go to another corner.
Yeah, it's happened. With Charlie Angus's mother. She went down to Bay and Bloor. And then Michelle Landsberg's over at Young and Bloor.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And Charlie says it's going into small towns.
We're talking.
Well, that's how social justice is made. We know. We've been at this a long time. You got to plant the seeds.
Well, you know, some of us get punch drunk, and we're not sure. I want to know what round it is. And give me another shot of ice water in the face.
We're still going. There's no way. You have to keep going.
Well, I have to say, Ted, you're very creative. Thank goodness you did this. You've posted the picture, and I guess Avi Lewis has, of his father.
Yes.
Please, I mean, we all have to say, look, Stephen made a great courageous move.
He did.
Because, you know, he's a political figure. A political figure can hardly do anything without a little reward and damage.
Right. Never punished never put in the paper.
And he deserves, at bare minimum, an interview with what Stephen, tell us about why you're saying what you're saying.
Should be on the CBC.
Absolutely.
CTV.
But also as part of the larger story.
Yes.
Why don't we say New York City? Mamdani has been elected. What did you make of that?
I thought it was extraordinary, and so many Jewish people say it's great, and they asked him, where were your first place to go?
He said, New York City.
New York City. I'm the mayor. I'm not going to Palestine. I'm the mayor. But the Zionists are losing their hair.
He says, I serve the Jewish people, part of New York. They're part of our community. That's
right.
My job.
That's right.
And it isn't part of my job to by the way, a powerful country is always say to mayors or governors who make trips abroad, listen, remember, you're not representing our country.
That's right.
So you might put on a little show for somebody.
Yeah.
But we're running the policy. So they in New York used to have a ritual that if you were elected, you had to go to Israel.
That's right.
But credit the people of New York and the Jewish community of New York who got behind Mamdani.
Sure.
So they got a twofer. According to Fox News, they've elected a Sharia Muslim and a communist.
Oh, yeah.
And the proof that he's a communist is he says we could have free public transit.
Right.
I hope somebody mentions to Mayor Chow that we have a mayor of one of the greatest cities in the world who says you can actually, it just depends on how you treat your millionaires, billionaires.
Yeah.
You can obviously have free transit for your city.
That's right. Well, the greatest Jew to me in the United States is Peter Beinart. And just before he came here, he put another thing out 6 minutes saying how disgusted he was with the Democrats for not getting behind Mamdani.
That's their tough luck.
That's right. And he says this is just awful to think that he's going to be somehow linked with Israel. No, he's the mayor of New York. He cares about the poor.
Yeah, he cares about New Yorkers. And extraordinary young man with energy.
That's right.
He meets and greets the people. He doesn't have enemies. He doesn't go around hating anybody.
No.
And he says, you care about New York, I care about New York. We work together.
Well, things are changing. You just have to be part of it. And this is all we're doing. And it's expanding. Charlie says they're going into small towns. People are standing up there.
Well, tell us about Charlie Angus. he was your student.
No, Charlie was a public school, homeschooled, and went to public school in Scarborough. Came down from Kirkland, or from...
How did you... You had some link to him.
Oh, yeah. Well, he started a punk band with Andrew Cash, who was a student at Neil McNeil. I taught the Cash family.
Ah.
And I just always try to support the, you know, young musicians like Larry Gowans, a former student of mine. He's Phil and Massey Hall. I mean, I'm a man of the arts. I'm a fairly well-read guy.
And comedy, you were one of your students was John Candy.
John Candy was very close to me. So, so Charlie hung out there, and I gave him books on the history of rock and roll. You know, I grew up downtown. And books to read on justice. He was a serious Catholic. Yeah. And they got going, and our relationship just always remained solid. And, you know, a big supporter of his, and then suddenly he started calling me the prophet of Scarborough. I said, knock that off, Charlie.
Well,
but the friendship there, and then he got his
We
mother.
Don't have to knock it off. We can, Ted can ask us, but we can go ahead and say he's a prophet. But, certainly, you're doing what... prophets do, you're bearing witness. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? You say, don't keep it a secret. You don't accept this bombing of and starvation of people. Killing people who are trying to come for food. That's about as mean as it gets.
It's shocking. So his mother had never, she's a daily communicant. His mother had never been on any protests. She came out to Scarborough. I met her. I said, well, Marie, this is what you can do. Get signed. She put out $600 of her own money. Yeah. And there she is at 85 in a walker at Bay and Bloor every Wednesday. And people are coming out.
Pick a day of the week and pick a corner.
Well, that's right. And now they're doing it in smaller cities and small towns. And that's we got to get to the next level, to the political level.
Yes.
You know, so we just kept going.
I would say policy is shame them into it. Say, you explain to me why this is happening.
It's
just you're the big shot. You tell me why you make sure that they have enough weapons to do their work.
Yeah.
Why you block any attempt at the United Nations to call them to account. Why do you do that?
Yeah.
And just explain it. Meanwhile, I'm going to be on this corner with my sign.
Well... You know, we're at a point where South Africa was just before it fell, and Zionism is just about dying, and it's dying all over the world.
It could happen, yes.
Yeah.
I think my, what is the word? Well, I don't need one. The Americans and the British and the French are never going to give up that area.
Right.
Whoever gets to be the mayor or the governor, they are the ones that are going to make sure that they have enough guns to protect the interest of the empire. We're not post-empire at all.
No, it's still very powerful.
It's powerful. U.S. has 800 bases around the world.
Sure.
And we've just, now we have a military budget. And by the way, this is again part of your work and life work.
Yeah.
Now they go from saying, well, we can't make 2%, to now they say, oh yeah, well, we're going to make 5.
Oh, geez.
Where do you think building up arms leads to? At the end of that road is mayhem and massive.
Yeah.
Nobody kills people, by the way, like the Europeans.
Oh, yeah.
World War I, World War II.
Yeah.
The people of the continent of Africa, Asia, look on in awe at how the Europeans slaughter each other.
Yeah.
Because of this idea of having armament and bullying.
Yeah. Well, if the leaders don't do it, as Charlie says, and I totally agree, the people have to do it, as they did with the civil rights movement. They were my heroes. The black marginalized people were my heroes.
Yeah.
And I learned so much from them, and I learned so much with the Jewish people that I grew up with, you know.
Yeah.
But I tried to take the Judaism seriously, and I saw that Muslims came out of it, Christians came out of it, so...
Yeah. This is Ted Schmidt. He's at the corner of Kingston Road. It's Kingston Road, right?
In Victoria Park.
In Victoria Park, Thursday mornings.
Every Thursday at 8 a.m., yeah.
And you did ride with the Berrigans.
Well, yes.
We say in the West.
I buried Phil and knew Dan, and they were our heroes. They really stood up to the American Empire.
They're so proud of you because your work has been tremendous.
Thank you.
Ted, we're going to have you come in, and we've got to keep talking about the peace business.
Yeah.
And we're going to follow you. Is there a place people can look to, for example, get the picture of Stephen? You have a site? Almost everybody I talk to has a place they go.
Well, yeah. I mean, they can come to the vigil, and I'll give them all the particulars.
All right.
You know, and I'll gladly send it out.
Yeah.
I'm not hiding anywhere.
Well, it's been great talking to Ted Schmidt, who is a prophet whether he likes it or not. This is the Tater Report, CIUT. Pedro, thank you. We'll see you next week.